This morning, I want to talk about newness of life. So pray with me as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity that we have again to come together to worship you and to follow, Lord, your example. I pray, Lord, as I always do, that right now you will take everything that is mine and give me, Lord, nothing but your words. Inspire me, hide me behind the cross so that your people may be fed this morning from your word. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles again with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're looking for 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you have it, say amen. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Do you believe that? Have you seen that? Have you experienced that in your life? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Have you ever seen the birth of a baby? Some of you have. I was 16 years old, and I remember it as if it was yesterday. My stepmother was pregnant with fifth brother in the whole family, seven altogether. So fifth, second from my dad, second little brother. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. My dad had gotten up. He had taken a shower. He had gotten ready to go to work, and he left at 4 o'clock in the morning. We were spending that weekend with my dad, share custody. And at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I heard some stirring in my stepmother's room. And you know, she's about 9 months, close to. She is very large. I was going to say fat, but it's large. I hear some, you know, moaning and groaning as if somebody was in pain. I'm 16 years old. I have no clue what's going on. So I kind of, you know, get the pillow, put it over my head, you know, kind of drown out the noise. Next thing I know, I feel some tapping on me. She says, you got to get up. You got to take me to the hospital because this baby's coming. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, I just learned how to drive. So this is South Central L.A. So we get out and, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going, you know, slow to begin with, and she's getting louder and louder. And so the louder she gets, the faster I drive. And I'm just scared. And so next thing we know, we're driving on the freeway. I'm probably doing 65, 70, 80, I don't know, maybe 90 miles an hour now. Because I don't want to see this baby come on my watch. I want to get it to the hospital. I kid you not, we pull in front of the hospital. And it wasn't 5 minutes that they had taken her in that they came out with the little baby. They thought I was the dad because I had brought him in. And I said, no, I'm just the brother. I'm just the older brother. But have you ever held a young baby in your arms? Have you ever seen a newborn in your arms? Have you ever watched their eyes, their face, their little fingers, their little toes? Have you seen their pure body, their pure sense of being. As a pastor, I get to experience it many times. I get to hold many a times newborns, and it's just a beautiful experience. But in a spiritual sense, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Do you know that baptism is the way that people are birthed into the church of God? Baptism is the way that people are birthed into the body of Christ. And it is so amazing now to see full-grown people as a new creation. But in a spiritual sense, they're babies. Now, you know and I know that when a baby comes into the world, it needs to be taken care of, correct? Can a baby feed itself? Can a baby change itself? No. They have to be taken care of. God has instituted the church to be a safe place for babies, for spiritual babies. And this is almost, if you will, like an incubator. This is a safe zone. It should be a safe zone, let me put it that way, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes we do things that hurt newborn babies. Sometimes we do things that damage newborn Christian babies. Sometimes we do things that kill newborn Christian babies. And we must be very careful in the way we treat newborn Christian babies. Because the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You know, when Jesus was baptized, as a matter of fact, let's take a look at it real quick. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, beginning. Actually, let's begin with verse 13. We'll get the full context there. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Do you have it? If not, just look in the screen and say amen. All right, do you have it? Okay, that was better. All right. Matthew 3, 13. Then Jesus came to Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You see, God the Father saw his Son being baptized. Now, did Jesus need to be baptized? Did Jesus need to repent of anything? Did Jesus need to, you know, publicly accept that he was turning his life over? No. Why did he do it? He did it as an example for us. And we've talked about baptism here, and just so you know the procedure that we take for baptism here, for example, Dewey and Charlotte, they attended the seminar series. They got to know some of the biblical teaching, Bible prophecy, Bible teaching, Bible doctrine. I spent some time with them, and I went over doctrinal teaching that the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes. Then I took their names to the church board. I said, listen, this is what these people have asked for baptism. This is what I have taught them. This is what they believe. This is what they're willing to accept. And, of course, then their baptism was held today. And in a few minutes, you'll get the opportunity to accept them as members of this church. Because you see, the body of Christ is the church. And so when a person is baptized into Christ, it also has to be baptized into the body, which is the church. And so Jesus, at his baptism, sees the Holy Spirit come down on him. He receives that Spirit. And you know what he does after he receives that Spirit? He hears the voice of the Father saying, "Oh, I love my Son. In him, I am so pleased." Dewey, Charlotte, God says that to you this morning. Now, here's another thing, and this is a lesson for us too. And it's so important, and let me just take this as a teaching moment here real quick. You know, after Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted of the evil one. You know what he did after those 40 days? He went right to work. He started his public ministry. And for the next 3.5 years, he worked and worked and worked on his public ministry. You know the best way to stay in church, Dewey and Charlotte, is get involved. Get involved. Find something that you like. Find something that you like to do. And I will put you to work when Jack Cologne comes. But that's 6 months away. So find a place. And those of you that are leaders here, find a place where you can use Dewey and Charlotte. Because that's the way people stay in church. You need to feel like you belong. You need to feel like you are part of something. God, the Father, saw his Son and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." His Son then went to the wilderness, and then after the wilderness, he went to work. If you want to stay involved, if you want to stay connected, get involved. You know, we have many churches that have a lot of people just warming the pews. And I tell a lot of people that get baptized, I tell them, and please forgive me for saying this here, I tell them, listen, we don't need pew warmers. We already have enough pew warmers. We don't need any more. We need people to be involved because, you see, we need people to be involved in carrying the gospel, to finishing the mission of preaching the gospel to the world. And that needs people. You need to have that experience to be able to share that experience. So, you see, baptism is a new birth. Baptism is receiving the Holy Spirit, but baptism is also something else. Go with me to Galatians 3:27. Galatians is one of the little books. So after Corinthians, you'll find a bunch of the little books. Ephesians, Philippians, and actually before all of those, you find Galatians. So if you find Corinthians, just go, the immediate book after Corinthians is Galatians. And we're looking at chapter 3, verse 27. This is Galatians chapter 3, let's begin with verse 26. Do you have it? Good. Galatians 3:26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? We're all children of God. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with" what? With Christ. Those of you that were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, the Bible says. So what does that mean to you and me? What does that mean for our life application? That means that when we give our life to Christ, Christ put his robe of righteousness over us. He covers us with his life. Oh, and that is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Because we cannot stand in front of God by ourselves. If I show up to heaven, let's use holy imagination here. I show up to heaven and I get to the pearly gates. And St. Peter comes up and opens the door. Imagination here, right? Not biblical. The Bible's over there. So St. Peter opens the door and says, Galvez, why should I let you in here? Okay? If I say, well, you know, I was a pastor. I preached. I visited the sick. I did baptisms. I went on mission trips. I sacrificed. I did all of these things. Do you think St. Pete's going to say, okay, come in? Let's take it further. If I stand before God the Father and God the Father says, Galvez, why should I let you in? I pay tithe. I did this. I did that. I went on this. There's not a thing that I could say to God the Father that would entitle me to enter heaven. You know the only reason why a person like me could enter heaven? Do you know the only reason why a person like you could enter heaven? If God the Father says, Galvez, why should I let you in? The only thing I could do is point to Christ and say, because of him. Because of him. Because you see, when we are baptized, we put on Christ. Christ covers us. He takes away my sin. He takes away my failures. He takes away my frustrations. And he covers me with his perfect life. A new creation. You see, that's why when a person is baptized, yes, they're a newborn baby in that spiritual sense, but they start growing. And as they start growing, they start getting involved and they start connecting with Christ. That's why we need encouragement. That's why we need to support each other. Because at the end of the day, folks, we need Christ. We can't do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Romans chapter 6. So go back a little bit from Galatians there and go to Romans. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. This is the ultimate newness of life. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Do you have it? Okay, Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. You see, baptism, that watery grave, is what it represents. When you go into that watery grave, you leave your past life behind and you come out a new person. You come out a new being. It doesn't mean, and you know, when I was baptized, I was told that, you know, I was now perfect and that I couldn't commit any more sins because if I committed any more sins, woe is to me. But you see, that's not what it's all about. Baptism is a new beginning. Baptism is dying to self, dying to the old life, and now being open to the direction of the new life. And in the new life, you have the Holy Spirit there to help you. You have Jesus Christ in the heavenly sanctuary ministering for you 24/7. You can call him at any time of the day or night. You can plead for his help. You have a minister in heaven. You have the Holy Spirit working with you. You have help. God doesn't ask you to change by yourself. God doesn't ask you to be transforming by yourself. He does the work. He does the miracles in your life. It is him, the one who transforms you. It is him, the one that does the change. It is him who deserves the honor, the praise, and the glory. Baptism is a wonderful symbol of new life. It's a wonderful rite of a representation of a beginning of a new life. Oh, I still remember it. I was 15 years old. My life was still ahead of me. Oh, yes, there was the opportunities. I could have chosen worldly opportunities. I could have followed worldly opportunities. But I knew that God was touching my heart, and I knew that God was calling me, and I tried to resist because I didn't want it to begin with. But the Lord was calling. Oh, I saw my buddies. Oh, they were chasing, you know, worldly stuff. They were doing things that seemed fun, and I wanted to take part of those, but God was calling me, and I knew he was calling me. And so I gave my life over to him. I left a soccer career behind. I left a free education behind. But I received Christ in my heart. And the glory of all glories will come when my Savior, Jesus Christ, I am able to see face to face. This world does not have anything to compare with Jesus Christ. And it is him that makes us a new creation. It is him that molds us. It is him that builds us. And so we look forward to the day when this new creation will become a whole brand new recreation in its entirety, including the new planet. I look forward to that day, do you? I look forward to that celebration. I look forward to the day that we can remember Eden. And we can remember how it was, and we can live it and see it again. A new creation. If you haven't experienced it, oh, I would plead with you to consider it. If you have experienced it, remember your first love. Remember the reason why you gave your life to Christ. And live a life that would reflect the character of Christ in your life, because that's what it's all about. It's never been about us. It's always been about in your life. At this moment, before I invite Dewey and Charlotte to come up, let me just share with you just the membership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because a lot of times when we think of Seventh-day Adventist churches, we think it's just, you know, a little local church. But of course, many of you know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not only a regional church, but it's also a worldwide church. As of the last few months, the official membership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide is 16 million. And I was astonished, Pastor Schultz, to hear last weekend that 75% of that 16 million are under the age of 35. What do you say to that, folks? To me, there is hope. There is great strength. There should be joy because of that. We are a young church. This is a church that can be used. We have the experience. We have the knowledge. But we also have our young people. We should praise the Lord for our young people. Now, Pastor Schultz and myself know that when you go overseas, the church is very, very, very young. But sometimes when you come to America, you see that the church is, I'm not going to say very, 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 but it's a little bit older. But you see, we have to praise the Lord for his blessings. So Dewey, Charlotte, you're not joining only this local congregation here, but you're joining a worldwide sisterhood of churches, a worldwide sisterhood of membership, a group of people that are waiting for the Lord. We look forward to the day when we can raise our arms and say, here's the Lord, we've waited for him. He has come to save us. We're looking forward to that day. Now, as I mentioned to you, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and of course, the Holy Spirit. But I also baptize you into the body of Christ, which is his church. And so at this moment, I'd like you to please just come up here. And again, just so that you know, church, come up all the way up. Yeah, just right here, right next to me. There you go. Just so you know, church, they attended the conflict, Cosmic Conflict series. I have sat down with them privately. We went through the doctrinal points. I brought their name before the board, and I explained to the board, and I asked permission for the board to be able to baptize them. The board agreed, not a problem. And so it is with the board's recommendation, with my recommendation, that I bring this morning to you, after their baptism, both Charlotte and Dewey, and I would like to recommend to you that we accept them as members of this local church here in Brookings. How many of you would be in favor of that? You see that? Welcome to your new family. Welcome to your new family. So Dewey, here is your certificate. Welcome, my friend, my brother. Charlotte, here you go. Welcome, welcome. Now just stay there. Just stay there because we have a little something else for you. There's one for you. Oh, here, let's switch it around because I think that's pink. Well, I don't know, maybe that's orange. There you go. There you go. What do you say, church? Wonderful. Now, one last thing, church. Both Dewey and Charlotte have made a public commitment that they're going to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. They have done that. They're going to try to follow the Lord. They're going to try to do whatever they can. So they have committed quite a bit. So, church, I'm going to put you on the spot here. And as a pastor, you know, I'm putting myself on the spot too. So understand that I'm not throwing you under the bus. We're all going under the bus. But, church, will you commit yourself to love, to encourage, to strengthen, and to help these two wonderful people, and to love them more and more into the church? Will you do that with me? Will you do that? We have a committed church here, and we look forward to seeing you grow in Christ more and more. Let me pray with you here, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. So bow your heads with me as we pray here in the front. Our Father in heaven, oh, what a joyous occasion. We just thank you so much for Charlotte and for Dewey. We just pray, Lord, that you will continue to work with them by your Holy Spirit. Oh, we look forward, Lord, to the day that you come and gather all of your children home. We hope that we will be among all of your children. We pray that you will clothe us with your righteousness and that you will continue to be with us. Again, we thank you so much for Charlotte and for Dewey, and we just ask a special blessing on them. We ask all of these things in the precious name, our precious Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. All right, we'll sing our closing hymn now, which is 330, Take My Life and Let It Be. Please stand up, and Tanya will lead us in that song. 330.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of Take my lips and let them move, swift and beautiful as from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. Be thy royal throne. It shall take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
It's with me, and then after that, have a seat because I have a couple of announcements real quick. Our Father in heaven, we again just give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for who you are and what you do for us. We just thank you so much that we were privileged, Lord, to see a new birth this morning, a couple of new births. And we are just so excited, so blessed, just remembering, Lord, all the things that you have done for us. We pray again that you will be in a special way with Charlotte and Dewey. Be with our church, Lord. May it continue to grow for your honor and for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that you will come soon. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.